Parking my truck, I headed inside. My stride so long and swift, I should have been running. I wanted to run. Bust into that diner and grab her up and shield her from anything else this life wanted to hurl at her. I didn't look at the few tables with customers left. My gaze swept over them as I scanned the place for Scarlet. "You can wait outside," a male voice said with force. I shifted my focus to see fuel or gasoline or whatever the fuck his name was and frowned. "Where's Scarlet?" It wasn't a question as much as a demand. "I said, you can wait outside," he repeated. And the motherfucker actually took a step toward me, like he was going to force me outside. I continued to frown at him, more confused than anything. "I'll stay here, thanks. Where is Scarlet?" I was doing my best to remain calm. It wasn't easy with the way my emotions had been brutalized today. "That's not your business," he said, taking another step toward me. I didn't move. I was curious if he was planning on getting in my face. "Scarlet is and will always be my business," I informed him. The calm, even tones even surprised me. It took me a moment to process why I wasn't planting my fist in his dimpled face. But it hit me, and I chuckled. I didn't know I had it in me to fucking laugh at all. "You think this is funny? What you did?" His voice raised and his eyes shot daggers at me. Still, I had no desire to hurt him. Not even an ounce of fight. I didn't want to hurt him because he was protecting her. She had little to none of that in her life. Now that I knew just how badly she needed it and been without, I couldn't be mad at anyone for giving that gift to her. He was there for her. He was wrong, thinking he needed to protect her from me, but he didn't know that. My leaving had upset her this morning. Guilt for leaving her like that only made me more desperate to see her. "I need to see Scarlet. I realize you were trying to protect her, and I thank you for that, but you don't have to protect her from me." The guy laughed this time, a hard, unamused laugh. His eyes remained cold and fixed on me. This was more than just a friendly protecting her situation. He had feelings for Scarlet. I couldn't blame him there, but I'd be damned if I was going to let another man move in on my girl. "You're an asshole that does nothing but upset her. Why don't you get the hell away from her? Let her move on." If this was the me that left this morning, the guy who was too fucking afraid to admit I loved Scarlet, then maybe I would agree with him. But I wasn't that guy. Not anymore. It shouldn't take stories of real-life monsters and horror to wake me the hell up. Yet it had. My shallow life had been one with little resistance. How could I believe for a moment that I'd hurt my own twin brother for a girl I wasn't in love with? That should have been one hell of a bright neon light flashing in my face, but no. I told myself Scarlet had been an addiction. "I've made mistakes. More than I have time to stand here and list, but I'm not leaving here, and I'm sure as hell not leaving her. Ever." "You fucking left, Diesel. Leave it." Scarlet's voice cut him off, and I quickly turned to see her standing behind us, her hands on her hips, her mouth turned down at the corners and pain in her eyes. Fuck. I abhorred seeing pain there. Never again. I never wanted to see her unhappy again. "Hey," was all I could manage to choke out past the emotion squeezing my throat like a vice. I moved toward her, and she put up both hands to stop me.
"No."
Her voice was firm. It wavered, but she was hiding it the best she could. As much as I wanted her tucked safely against my chest, I couldn't reach for her. Not yet.
Not when she looked like she may slap my face.
I would take that slap from her gladly if it made her feel better. "I bought a truck." I took a measured breath and continued. "I quit my job. My things are in the truck." Her eyes widened, and her lips parted slightly.
"What?"
she whispered. "If this is where you are, then it's where I want to be."
Chapter 35 Scarlet. I'd heard of people having those moments where they are completely speechless. No words could form, their mouths won't move, not even a grunt, I didn't believe that was realistic. I mean, who can't at least make a grunt? I stood corrected. It's possible. Because I wasn't sure oxygen was even moving through my lungs. Shock could do many things to a person. This must be one of them. It only lasted a few moments. Then the fear I misunderstood settled in. That made more sense. Bray had said something that I had heard incorrectly. He moved toward me, and I watched, my head tilting as he drew closer so I could keep eye contact. I was waiting for them to twinkle with laughter from his cruel joke. That was more Bray-like than this man who I thought had just said he wanted to be where I was. Loving him, needing him, it was all so hard to do. He made it impossible not to want him. When he was sweet, I clung to it, hoping the moment never ended. But it always did. Then I was left hollow from the experience that was all too fleeting. This sure looks like it's gonna end up with roses and chocolate, but I need these customers taken care of before they all get up and walk out. Ethel's voice rang out over the dining room. Startled, I gasped and spun around. I'd forgotten where we were. What I was supposed to be doing. Everything. Bray did that to me, and how I hated it. Diesel, get the lemon pie and start giving everyone who's had to sit here and watch the drama going on while they choked on their food due to nothing to drink a free slice, Ethel ordered, then pointed at Bray. You find a seat. Stay in it. If you go running off again, I'm liable to get my shotgun off the wall in my office and chase you down. Are we clear? I paled. Ethel was threatening Bray. Oh, dear God. I didn't look back at him, but the low laughter from his chest was my second surprise for the evening. Yes, ma'am. We are clear. He'd sounded respectful, not sarcastic. I started to turn back to look at him, and Ethel snapped her fingers. No, you don't. Focus this way, dear. She winked at me and went back into the kitchen. Diesel stalked past me, following her. Either he was going to argue that Bray needed to leave, or he was angry about giving out the pie. I was pretty sure it was the former. He was angry at Bray. Not that it was his business to be. I wondered how long they had been standing there arguing when I walked out. Bray had a short temper, and seeing Diesel advancing on him like that made me panic. I didn't know what Bray would do next, but an image of Diesel sprawled out on the floor flashed through my mind. Grabbing the water pitcher, I started making my way around, refilling drinks and checking on the few customers we had left. My cheeks were warm from the pink stain on them. All eyes had been on the three of us. Two good-looking young men like them fighting over you, Mrs. Warrior said in a loud whisper, and a grin as I filled her cup with water. Reminds me of my younger days. Mr. Warrior made a sound in his throat. Who was fighting over you, Jane? I should have given you to them, and they could have saved me a lot of trouble and money. The Warriors had been married 60 years. I knew this because they told me more than once. They also fought regularly, and Mrs. Warrior flirted with the other senior citizen males in the place. She must have been pretty once, because she carried herself as if they all were looking at her. I should have chosen one of the rich boys who wanted to court me. It would have been a more exciting life. I'd have gotten to see New York City. I always did want to see that big old tree at Christmas they have there. Mr. Warrior rolled his eyes. What rich boys? You sure you aren't getting your life confused with one of them stories you watch? Mrs. Warrior straightened up in her chair, correcting my assumption that it wasn't possible for her to sit any straighter. The summer people, she said, as if Mr. Warrior was too beneath her to know what that was. The wealthy came to the beaches back then for its seclusion from the big city, she told me matter-of-factly. My mama worked for several of them. Your mama cleaned their toilets, stopped jabbering like you were highfalutin, and let the girl do her job, Mr. Warrior grumbled. I smiled and hurried to the next table. I knew from experience sticking around would get me put in the middle of their fight, and I wasn't interested. I chanced a glance back to Bray to see he was still here, his gaze following me. He didn't seem angry to be told to take a seat or in a hurry to leave. He was different.
Can I have a coffee to go, sugar?
The man at my next table asked, and I snapped back to attention, trying not to think about Bray. Not yet, anyway. But he was here. He hadn't left me. He'd left to come back to me. I didn't know what to think about that, or if I could believe it.
I don't reckon that one is leaving,
the man said, then winked at me. My already warm cheeks flared with heat, and I hurried to get him a coffee to go for the road. I could tell by the smell of tobacco, wrinkled clothing, and endless consumption of coffee that he belonged to the semi-truck outside. Diesel was walking out with the pie and a scowl on his face as I got to the drink station. You're smarter than this, Scarlet, he said under his breath. I didn't respond to him. This was a guy who had driven his drug-dealing friend's car around and gone to jail for him. He wasn't that sharp himself. Besides, he didn't know our story. He assumed he did, and I hadn't asked for his opinion. The guy is a player. He likes the chase, he continued. I looked up at him, forced a smile. You have several people waiting on their free pie, I said with fake cheer, and went to take the trucker his coffee and leave him his bill.
Can I get more sweet tea, Scarlet?
Hansel Myers asked. He was a 30-year-old who lived with his mother and wore bow ties. He also ate here for dinner on her bingo nights. To most people, he was pathetic or pitiful. But he had a mom who loved him, wanted him around. I thought he was lucky. I grabbed the tea pitcher and tipped it to give him a refill.
Thank you,
he said shyly. He always turned bright red from the roots of his receding hairline to his chest when he spoke to me. You're welcome, Hansel. I'll leave your bill right here, I replied. I started to walk off and he blurted out,
If things don't work out with the others, I'm free this weekend.
I would be willing to bet Hansel was free most weekends. I simply smiled at him and nodded. I didn't know the correct words to say there. My eyes quickly darted to Bray, who was covering his mouth discreetly with his hand. His eye danced with laughter. He was laughing and trying to hide it. The Bray I know wouldn't care about Hansel's feelings. I stood there staring at him again, confused. The warmth in his eyes as he stared back at me made my chest feel funny. It wasn't something I was familiar with. It felt nice. No, better than nice. It was as if I had been dipped in a tingly peppermint bath. I shivered.
Jesus,
Diesel muttered, disgusted as he walked off. I ignored him because he didn't understand. Bray Sutton wasn't only the first man I ever trusted to love. He had also been my first for many things. He was the first man I ever felt safe with. That was important to me. Right now, I was feeling something new, and I couldn't put a name to it. Maybe it didn't need a name or explanation. I just didn't want it to ever go away. With Bray? You never knew when he would be gone.
Chapter 36. Bray. After the diner had emptied and Scarlet was putting chairs on top of tables, I stood and did the same. She paused and watched me for a moment. I grinned and continued. She left me to finish, then began vacuuming the floor so she could mop them. Gasoline walked in once, but turned and walked back out. Scarlet didn't seem to notice, and I knew he was disappointed. He wanted her attention. I was happy she didn't even have to pretend not to care. We had enough to work through. Another guy would have made it harder. Not that I wouldn't have fought for her and fucking won, because I would have. I was just glad it wasn't an obstacle. I didn't want to focus on drama shit with another guy when I knew Scarlet had a lifetime of damage to heal from. The reminder of all I'd read made me feel ill again. I swallowed hard and took a deep breath. I knew grabbing her and holding her while I demand she work through this, to cry, wail, hit me, all of the things I wanted to see her do, weren't the way to handle it. Even I knew that much. I was pretty damn sure once she knew I'd read her diary she was going to be furious. Figuring out how to break that to her without her shoving me out of her life was important. Not that she could get rid of me. but fighting to stay would only make this harder. "I'm headed back to the house," the older lady announced as she walked into the dining room from the kitchen. "Once this is mopped, you two go on. I reckon y'all got things to discuss. That I hope ends in kissin'. Diesel will handle all the back. No need to help him tonight, Scarlet." Scarlet glanced at me before turning to her boss. "Thanks, Ethel, but are you sure? I don't mind staying to help." Ethel waved her hand and tisked. "Go home, child. This man's been waiting on you all evening." Scarlet finally nodded. "Okay." Ethel then looked at me. "You," she pointed. "This is your last chance. You leave our girl upset, crying, or cursing folks out again, and I'm not letting you near this place. It's time you do what needs to be done." The woman was right, of course. "Cursing people out?" I asked instead of agreeing. Ethel nodded. "Yes, told Diesel right off. Let him have it good. Then she tried to walk out and leave herself. She was fit to be tied when you left. I ain't got time for that drama except in my soaps I watch. Only place all that belongs." Scarlet had her head down, shaking it quickly. Her cheeks were slightly pink again. I held back my chuckle. I liked that she'd cursed at Diesel. He deserved it. I had no idea what the fuck he said, but I figured he needed a good dressing down. "Mop bucket is right in that closet. So is the mop. Why don't you stop looking at her like you want to take a bite and get to mopping behind her as she vacuums? Then you two can be out of here faster." I liked that idea just fine. Without any more encouragement, I went to the closet and found exactly what she said I would. "Go on now. Let him do it," I heard her tell Scarlet. There was some whispering, then the door closed behind Ethel. I stopped filling the bucket with water and found Scarlet watching me, her eyes full of questions, doubts, and fears. I hated that she looked at me like that. But what should I expect? She'd been let down her entire life, neglected, chosen last and not at all. I hadn't been any better. Even when we were together, I hadn't been able to be exclusive. I'd refused to allow my heart to be owned by a female. I'd slept around, and she'd stood back, waiting for any attention I'd give her. I'd taken her for granted. I fucking hated myself. "You gonna vacuum?" I asked her. She sighed, then nodded. I wanted to say so many things, but not here. Not when we more than likely had a listener at the door. Not when I couldn't hold her and promise her forever.
I knew my words weren't going to be enough. She'd need actions, and even then it would take time, but I had all the time in the world. I'd proved to her she could depend on me. We cleaned in silence. It wasn't until it was finished and the things were put away that Scarlet turned to me.
"Everything's done," she said simply.
"Ready to go?"
I wanted to have her ride with me in my truck, but I was loaded down and her diary was still in my front seat.
"Yes?"
"I'll follow you," I told her. She glanced over my shoulder outside to my truck parked out front.
"You bought that from Joe Kirk, didn't you?"
"Yep. He had it for sale in his yard for about a month now." She kept staring at it a few more seconds, then shifted her gaze back to me.
"You bought a truck?"
It wasn't a question. It was more of a comment, made in disbelief. I closed the space between us and slipped my knuckle under her chin. "I'm staying, wherever you are." The hope in her eyes was mixed with pain. I realized there had always been pain there, behind every expression she had. Even when she smiled or laughed, that had been there. No one ever noticed, not Dixie, not me. Had she wanted us to see? Another question I needed an answer to, but I wasn't sure I could handle. Right now, my self-hatred was strong. Every action, every selfish decision I'd ever made concerning Scarlet haunted me. Was a lifetime long enough to make it right? I wasn't sure it was possible, but damned if I wasn't gonna try.
"I'll see you at the trailer," she said slowly.
Even now, I could see the uncertainty, as if she thought I might drive away. More shit I'd brought on myself. I followed her out the front door and watched as she locked it behind her. I knew she was parked out back, but she was purposely not going out that way to avoid Diesel. I'd have followed her if she had. She probably knew that. I wouldn't fight with him. Didn't matter what he said. My anger was solely concentrated on one group of people. I had nothing left for anyone else. Especially someone who saw that Scarlet was worth protecting. She stopped at the sidewalk. My car's around back. I stayed beside her. I know. She waited a moment, then nodded her head at my truck.
You park there.
I am, but if you think I'm not going to walk you to your car, then I'm an even bigger bastard than I was giving myself credit for. She scrunched her nose as if confused, then shrugged. When she started walking again, I fell in step beside her. I could hear the silent questions churning in her mind. The questions wanted to burst out, but she was controlling them. When we reached her car, I opened the door for her once she clicked the locks open from the remote in her hand. "I'll see you in a few minutes," I assured her, then bent my head to press a kiss to her lips. A simple press of my mouth to hers. Nothing passionate or demanding. Just the connection. Promises. Unspoken.
Chapter 37. Scarlet. Even though he'd waited until I got off work, then mopped the floors, I had still watched his headlights in my rearview mirror, expecting him to drive off at any second. I thought I'd watch him turn and speed away. Bray was good at changing his mind. Like this morning, for example, I refused to believe he drove off planning to buy his own truck, quit his job, and move to Robertsdale. That idea had come during his drive home. He wouldn't be happy here. Getting excited was dangerous, and I would not do it. I should send him home now, save myself the heartache. I didn't think I had the power to turn him away. What I wanted right now was to wrap my arms around him and hold on. Pretend he was there forever, like he had said he was. Shaking my head at the silly thought, I looked at myself in the mirror this time. "Get your head on straight, Scarlet," I whispered, then turned off the car and climbed out. Bray was already parked, and it looked like he was unloading his truck. I paused and watched as he carried two cardboard boxes toward me.
"I brought what your mother hadn't given away."
I tensed when he said, "mother." Not because mention of her affected me like that, but the way he said it. Almost as if saying the word was so distasteful it was hard to say. What had she said to him? "Why did you go there?" I asked, a little panicked at all the cruel things my mother could have said to him about me. He stopped in front of me, his gaze steady. There was reassurance in his eyes, as if he knew I needed that right now.
"Because if that bitch had anything of yours, I wanted you to have it."
She'd said something to him. There wasn't distaste in his voice. That was hatred and disgust. "What did she say to you?" I blurted the question out while the fear began to claw at me. She could tell him terrible things. If she had, he wouldn't be here, would he?
"Nothing worth repeating. She's a sick, selfish, disgusting person. I'm glad you got the hell away from her. I understand your affection for this."
He nodded at the trailer.
"Place."
He finished without bashing it this time.
"I'd prefer this too. Hell, I'd prefer one of these boxes in a dark alleyway than living in the same house as her."
The idea made me laugh. It wasn't funny, but it was exactly how I felt. The corner of his mouth lifted, but the sadness in his eyes didn't match up. Where had that come from?
"Let's get these inside. I have another one, then my things. I want to get this done so I can hold you."
I started walking toward the trailer when he started talking, but his last comment caused me to pause mid-step. I almost tripped. Hold me? Was I asleep? Would I wake up soon and all this be a dream? If so, I was going to be devastated. Forcing myself to keep moving, I unlocked the door and Bray set the boxes down inside. As he walked past me on his way back outside, he stopped, bent down, and pressed a kiss to my lips again. Nothing demanding, just a kiss, an achingly sweet kiss. It was after he was getting the other stuff from his truck that I finally gasped for air. I've been holding my breath. My fingertips touched my lips, and they were tingly. It was a new sensation. Bray Sutton was being sweet. No demands, no crude sexual demands. Just gentle touches. And it was rocking my world. I didn't feel balanced. The boxes sat in the middle of the small area, and I saw a large S written on the front. I had no idea what she decided not to give to charity. I was almost afraid to look inside. But I had to face it. Whatever she kept, I needed to decide if I was going to keep. Not with Bray here watching me. I'd have to find time alone. Bray walked back in with another box and sat it down. Then the duffel on his arm, he dropped on the table that was built into the left wall of the camper. "The rest can wait," he said, his voice low. I opened my mouth to ask him what his plans were, but his hands clasped my waist and he pulled me close to him. Not hard, not rough, but with more gentleness than I expected from him. Much like his kisses tonight. Bray's eyes held something I wasn't familiar with. I couldn't look away from them. They made my insides feel soft and squishy. The urge to curl up against Bray and cling to him was overwhelming. He backed up and sat down on the small couch behind us, bringing me with him. As if he read my thoughts, he pulled me into his lap and held me. Had I said it aloud? I hoped not. But then again, he was doing exactly what I wanted, and it was amazing. With Bray, any touching in the past led to sex. I never felt like he wasn't working toward getting my panties off. Not that he'd ever had to try very hard. At this moment, the sexual tension had been replaced with something else, but just as powerful. His hand came up and cupped the side of my head and pressed it to his chest. I sighed as I rested there, listening to his heartbeat, content, safe. It was as if the demons in my head couldn't get me here. All I wanted to think about was how good he felt, how much I liked to hear the sound of him breathing, and how much power he had to crush me. "Scarlet," he said quietly, his mouth so close to my ear that I felt the warmth of his breath. "Hmm?" I asked, unable to form words as I shivered from the chills the sensation of him holding me and saying my name gave me. "I love you." Three words. Three simple words. Hearing Bray Sutton say them, I knew that wasn't possible. I'd feared this was a dream, one of the many I had escaped into in my life. Many times they were stronger than others. It was as if my psyche knew when I needed to escape reality and held me in my dream longer. This was one of those dreams. I'd wanted to believe it was real, but the dream had ruined it all by having Bray say words that were impossible. Tears stung in my eyes, and then sobs started causing my chest to shake. I'd wake up now, crying alone in my bed. Bray's arms wrapped tighter around me, and the tears came harder, the gasping for air as I waited for this to be ripped away from me. My life thrown back in my face. As much as I relied on these dreams to give me happiness, when they were over, it was hard to let go. I reached up and grabbed his arms and held on tight, as if the dream couldn't take me away from him if I had a hold of him. His muscles flexed under my touch, and his hand brushed my cheek. The sobbing only got worse. How would I make it through after having experienced this? How unfair! My subconscious wasn't thinking about how this would ruin what headway I had made living alone. "Scarlet." Bray's voice startled me. He was still here. I wasn't awake yet. Before the dream was over, I straightened in his lap, grabbed his face, and pressed my mouth to his. Desperate to taste him, if I had to wake up alone, at least I'd have the lingering memory of Bray on my lips. He didn't open his mouth right away, but with the tip of my tongue I traced his lower lip, and with a groan his mouth opened. The salt from my tear-streaked face mixed with the mint and soda on his breath. Moving over him, I straddled his lap and ran my hands into his hair, hungry to touch as much of him as I could before it ended. The reluctance wasn't like Bray, and although I noticed it, I couldn't seem to slow down long enough to figure out what was wrong. I didn't trust my brain. If I stopped, I would open my eyes and this would end. Bray's erection pressed through his jeans. I rubbed against it, wishing I had thought to get naked in this dream and not still be wearing my stinky work clothes. My shorts weren't long, but they had enough fabric to keep my sensitive area blocked from the connection it was aching for. Scarlet. His voice was strained as he pulled back from my attack on his mouth. I fought to lock my mouth on his again, biting his bottom lip as he groaned again, lifting his hips to rub his erection against me. I moaned with pleasure and began rocking against him. A growl came from his chest, and then his mouth was gone, and so was he. I stared at him, panting for breath, as he held me by my waist at arm's length. This wasn't how I wanted this dream to go. "Jesus," he said, staring at me as his chest rose and fell fast and hard. "Don't stop," I said, struggling to get to him again.
"Scarlet, wait. No, just wait."
He sounded pained. That caught my attention. There had been the pain in his eyes earlier. Why was I dreaming Bray was hurting or sad? That didn't fit. I closed my eyes and shook my head.
"Scarlet."
Bray's hand touched my cheek.
"Baby, are you okay?"
Slowly, I opened my eyes, and he was there. "I don't know. I'm not waking up," I told him. He frowned.
"Waking up?"
he asked. I nodded. "Yes, I can't get awake. While I'm sleeping, I want you inside me. You'll be gone when I wake up." His eyes widened. Then he moved and knelt down in front of me, his gaze holding me as if he'd never leave.
"Why do you think you're asleep?" That was simple.
"You said you loved me. You only say that when I'm dreaming."
Chapter 38. Bray. Being impaled by a fucking wooden stake in the chest would have been less of a blow. I stayed there, in front of her, innocent, broken, tear-streaked face as she looked panicked. Her attempt to wildly fuck me on this couch had been hard to turn down, but knowing something was off had been the strength I needed to stop everything. I told her I loved her. She'd burst into hysterical tears, then went after me like if I wasn't inside her soon, she'd explode. If I didn't know the monsters in her past, the nightmares she still battled, I may not have stopped her. How many times had I taken her wild reactions to our sex as a turn-on and used it for my pleasure? God, I was a bastard. "Scarlet," I said, gently taking her hands in one of mine, then brushing a stray tear from her chin. "You are very much awake, and I am in love with you. I have been for a while, but was scared to accept it. Trust this. Trust me. Even though I don't deserve it, give me a chance to prove that I will do everything I can to love you, protect you, make you happy, to erase all the shit I've done in the past." She didn't speak, her eyes never leaving mine. Her pupils were dilated, lashes wet and eyes red. She was the most beautiful thing in my world, inside and out. She taught me what it was to be tough, to be brave, to fight to live. Things I thought I'd known, but I had no fucking clue until Scarlet. "How?" she finally whispered. I could see she didn't believe me. She wanted to, but the fear to do it held her back. "How do I love you?" I asked for clarification. She nodded. And that stake in my chest twisted. Love wasn't something she knew how to receive easily. And I had run from it and been given it my entire fucking life. I was broken. I didn't believe I could love, when in reality I didn't love myself. I took her right hand and pressed it to my cheek. You loved me, even when I couldn't love myself. She reached up with her other hand and touched my other cheek. You've taught me a lot, Scarlet. What real bravery is, what determination is, how to be strong. But more than anything, you taught me to love. Tears filled her eyes again. I moved to sit beside her and gather her in my arms again. This time her tears weren't so violent and her hands weren't grasping at me as if I were about to vanish. Instead, her hands fisted in my shirt and she sank into me. I didn't know what she was thinking about. Was her past and the hurt and destruction she'd endured haunting her? Had she learned to block it out? Or was this her giving in to relief? That she wasn't alone. She had me. I'd love her. I'd protect her. I'd hold her. I love you, she said, tilting her head back to look at me. She'd screamed those words in the throes of an orgasm more than once. And although what she was loving was how I made her feel, I knew when it changed. I knew when she did love me. I had felt it, seen it. I was fucking terrified, but I wanted to hold on to her, and how she made me feel, and how her love made me feel. I bent my head and kissed her lips, trailing my bottom lip over hers as I held her gaze. I would be satisfied holding her like this all night. But I'd be lying to myself if I said that loving her body the way I should have before wasn't making my hands itch to explore her. With my lips, I touched her jawline, then her ear before gently caressing her neck. An almost silent gasp escaped her mouth, and I took that as an invitation to take more. No, I would give more. Show her how it felt to be loved, to be given pleasure without pain. Without harsh words, but sweetness only. Sliding my hand under her shirt, I covered her right breast and tugged it free from her bra so I could give her nipple attention while I nibbled and licked her collarbone. Her soft skin was salty from fallen tears and sweat. Scarlet arched her back and pressed her breast into my hand with an excited cry. I wasn't hurrying this. No matter how badly she wanted me to, I pulled the other cup down and the lacy fabric let her left breast pop free. I ran my palm back and forth over both of them while moving my mouth back up to hers and tasting her. She always reminded me of honey. I savored the sweetness and her little cries against my mouth. After enjoying how she scratched my arms and wiggled into my lap, I took my hand and slid it down her stomach, tracing her belly button with my fingertip. Then unbuttoned her shorts so that I could continue my journey. The warmth that met my fingers the moment they slid inside her panties caused me to groan. She moved against my hand impatiently, and I smiled as I kissed my way down to her cleavage. With a careful, drawn-out touch, I gave the gentlest attention to her swollen clit. The begging began, and with her head thrown back and her neck exposed to me, I took a bite of the tender skin, and she grabbed a handful of my hair. Bray. My name was a raspy sound from her lips. I studied those lips, swollen from my extra attention. I eased my hand out of her panties. That made her eyes fly open, all dazed and glassy, while her hand grabbed my wrist. No, she cried. I slid my arms under her and stood up. I'm making love to you, Scarlet, but not on this tiny excuse for a couch. I carried her to the bedroom. Sure, my dick had never been this damn hard. Scarlet didn't say anything at first, not until I laid her down on the bed and began stripping off my shirt. Her mouth finally opened, and she said, I smell like fried food. Laughing at this moment wasn't exactly romantic, but damn if I could help it. The sudden realization had her looking mortified. I knew if I didn't act quickly, this moment would be gone. I jerked my jeans off and covered her quickly. Lucky for you, I love the smell of fried food. She shook her head. Not on a woman. She ended it with a gasp because my teeth pulled one of her nipples into my mouth. Not on a woman, I agreed. This woman, it's an aphrodisiac, I swear. You let me get these bottoms off and I'll show you how hungry it makes me. She inhaled sharply, then slowly lifted her hips. I took the invitation with a smug grin and discarded her shorts and panties. She leaned up and pulled her shirt off, tossing it to the side of the bed. The bed touched all four walls of the room. There was no floor for anything to fall to except at the entrance where I had stood when I'd undressed. I liked the idea of being closed in a room with a big bed and a naked Scarlet. I may never leave.
I wrapped my fingers around her ankles and pulled her legs over my shoulders.
Then began to show her exactly how much I liked her scent. Hearing her cry my name while begging me not to stop was even sweeter.
Chapter 39 Scarlet. Ringing. There was a ringing. Far off. I stood in the middle of a desert and turned in circles looking for the sound. It wasn't until I began to panic because I couldn't find the noise that I realized I was alone in the desert. It finally hit me. I was dreaming. Then I began to fall backwards into nothingness. My eyes snapped open, my arms flew out, hitting the bed on either side of me in an attempt to catch myself, and the ringing continued. The sun was so bright, coming through the blinds I had to squint. I don't remember it being that bright in my bedroom before. My covers were tossed aside, and when I looked down at my body, I realized I was naked. A light sheen of sweat covered me. Why was it so hot? I slept with the windows cracked for the breeze. And why was the sun so bright? The ringing started again. Rubbing my eyes, I yawned. My body felt as if it had taken that fall I'd been dreaming about. The tenderness between my legs. Bray. I sat up in bed and began looking around. My phone was still ringing, so I jumped off the end of the bed and ran the four steps to the table in the kitchen to grab it. Hello? I said, and promptly yawned again.
Thank the Lord you're alive!
Ethel's voice rang loudly in my ear. Ethel, why was Ethel calling me so early? Why wouldn't I be alive? What? I asked, and began looking around and found I had to squint from the sunlight in here. Why was it so freaking bright?
I've called you since 6:30 this morning when it was clear you weren't going to be here in time for opening. You weren't answering, and I was about to get in my car and come see if something terrible had happened.
My head jerked up, and I looked at the tiny clock that was on the built-in stove. It was 8:25. Oh my God. Ethel, I am so sorry I forgot to set my alarm last night and... I began to scan the small trailer for any sign of Ray. Walking over to the window, I saw his truck was gone. But his duffel was open on the couch. He'd left it here. That small token of a promise he wasn't gone for good gave me enough relief that I could think straight enough to talk to Ethel.
And you were busy loving on that young man last night. I'm a woman. I know these things. You've never been late before. Ain't like you're a slacker.
But Ethel, I let you down. I will be there in 10, I swear. Let me get dressed and you come walking in these doors today and I'll fire you.
Stay home. Rest. Lord knows you need it after your day and night. We got things handled here. Just needed to know it was all night lovemaking that had you not showing up.
I covered my face with my free hand. This was so embarrassing. They could all hear her. Knowing Ethel, she was talking loudly right there in the dining room. She denounced to them all, I am alive, but exhausted from sex. I groaned. Ethel chuckled.
See you in the morning, girl, she said.
And the call ended, and I was alone, confused and naked, standing in my trailer. It wasn't like Bray to run off without a reason, or to let me sleep when I had a job to get to. I walked over to his bag and peeked inside. It looked like he had taken out an outfit from the way things were tossed around. His clothes from last night were beside the bag. I ran my fingers over one of his t-shirts. It was soft and black. I'd seen him wear this one before. We had been at Jack's and I'd run my hand over his back secretly. He'd smelled like a cigar that Jack had given him and told him he better hide to smoke it. I liked the scent on him. Many nights, I had laid awake thinking about how it would feel to have one of his shirts to wear. I could cuddle with it and pretend he was with me. I wondered if it would have made me feel safer. Reaching into the bag, I pulled the shirt out and smiled as I tugged it over my head. The fabric hit me mid-thigh and hung off one of my shoulders. It smelled of fabric softener and bray. Wrapping my arms around my stomach, I smiled, content. No, it was more than that. I was happy. Bray made me happy. He always had. But last night he hadn't used sex as a tool to control me, to take from me. He'd been giving and slow. I had felt special and wanted, cherished, important, all things that were foreign to me. He wanted me to trust him. He loved me. Hearing him say all that had been too good to be true. Things like this didn't happen to me. I was cursed. It had to be. It made me fear how long this would last. What happens when I have my first night of uncontrollable screaming, then weeping, stuck in a dream from the past? A memory that won't let me go? Would it scare him away? Or when I went inside myself because something triggered a memory and I couldn't make it stop? I'd have to fight to keep it from making me look like a psycho. Dixie called them my zoning out spells and thought it was just me being ditzy. I let her think that. But would Bray believe that excuse? Shaking all those thoughts aside, I went to straighten his clothes when my hands touched the corner of a pink book. Why would Bray be carrying a pink book hidden in his clothing? How odd. He wasn't a pink kind of guy. Slipping my fingers between the shirts and jeans, I pulled the book out. Before I even turned it over in my hands, I knew. I recognized it. Maybe my fingers had touched it so many times, the diary was like a memory for them, one that couldn't forget. My hands began to tremble. My throat closed up tightly. It was as if the diary had a hand and it was wrapped around my throat, squeezing it. My saliva thickened, making it even more difficult to swallow. Why did he have this? I'd hidden it long ago, thinking if I could get these memories away from me, I could forget. Yet the idea of throwing it away or burning it had seemed impossible, because it had happened. As much as I wanted to forget, the things that happened couldn't be wiped away from destroying the entries in a diary. It was proof that I hadn't lied, that I wasn't crazy. In the end, I decided to hide it. Bray had no business with this. My grip tightened on the diary, and I battled with betrayal. It felt as if he'd forced himself into my darkest memories uninvited. Bile burned as it climbed my throat. These were mine. No one should have seen this. Especially Bray. It took every ounce of strength I had to turn the familiar pink diary over in my hand and read the cover. It was silver, although time had dulled the shine some. Most of the glitter had worn off, leaving only the shiny material the cover was made from. It was some kind of plastic. Without opening it, I knew the pages were all 5x7 and had pink lines with a silver star at the top of each one. The color of the paper was a pale purple. It had been wrapped in a small box that Christmas with red wrapping paper from Macy's and a green bow. The man I called Father had bought it there and had them wrap it up, as he did all my gifts that year. They were all supposed to have been from Santa, but they said Macy's on the gold sticker that also held the gift card to Scarlet, was all it said. Written in a stranger's handwriting. Probably some college girl wrapping gifts during the holidays, or a retired grandmother taking on an extra job to buy her grandkids presents. Whoever it was, it hadn't been Santa. Or my parents. My mother had barely stayed awake while I opened my three gifts. The next year, she'd left before I finished opening my gifts. Then the next year, he didn't come home, but had my gifts shipped to me. They came in the mail a week before Christmas. A Gucci purse, a silver charm bracelet, and teddy bear with a t-shirt on that said Boston. Every Christmas and birthday from then on was the same. I would take the presents and place them under the tree that I always had Dixie help me put up. Then on Christmas morning, I'd open them. Alone. I'd make cinnamon toast and watch a Christmas movie and pray she never came out of her bedroom and that she was alone. Chapter 40. March 28, 2006. Sparkle Rose, there's a new one now. He comes in my room when he gets here. I don't want him to, but Mama tells me to shut up and hits me in the face if I cry or run from him. She said it's the least I can do for ruining her life. I don't want to cry, but I don't like when he touches me. It feels bad, and I get sick at my stomach. So I cry. Scarlet North, 9 years old. November 23, 2006. Sparkle Rose, it's Thanksgiving today. I made spaghetti and grilled cheese sandwiches. Mom wasn't here. She went to visit friends in Colorado, she said. I called Dad. He didn't answer. But the house is quiet, and I like it this way. No one is here to make me unlock the doors. I watched the Thanksgiving Day parade on the television. Then I made popcorn and watched Miracle on 34th Street. I wish she stayed gone all the time. Maybe she will be gone on Christmas, too. Scarlet North, 9 years old. June 1, 2007. I know he's not my father. I don't have one. His being gone all the time is because he wants away from her. I do, too. We have that in common. I wish he'd just take me with him. Scarlet? December 3, 2008. I punched the new one. Right in the balls. He screamed and hit me across the face, called me a little bitch, but I didn't care. Not even when Mom started hitting me with the belt she got out of Father's closet. Still didn't care. Because it was all worth it, he left. He didn't touch me anywhere but my thigh this time. I stopped him. Scarlet? October 2009. It happened. Father came home unexpected. Mother's new friend hadn't come in my room yet. I knew he would. He would hold me down while she tied my hands together. I'd started closing my eyes and thinking about other things. If I try really hard, I can completely zone out. Leave the room, almost. I don't know how he knew, but he did. My father, that is. He called me out of my room. I heard loud voices and yelling. I didn't want to go out there, but I went. He was never home. Maybe this time he was taking me away, even if he wasn't my real father. He asked me if that man had ever been in my room. I didn't even look at my mom. I knew her threats, that I'd go to jail, but I was older now. I'd looked it up online, and I knew that wasn't true. When I had told her as much, she'd pulled a gun out of a drawer and asked me if I wanted to be shot. Sometimes, I thought being shot might not be so bad. Then I'd be dead. I told him yes, and that he touched me, and I hadn't been able to say more. Admitting it made me feel as if the dirty was all over me. That it was there on me so he could see it. The man started to run for the door when Father stepped in his way. He told him that he didn't want this out, that if the man promised to never come back, he'd let him go. But returning would be a one-way ticket to prison. I didn't know you need tickets for prison, but I guess you do. When it was just the three of us, he told me to go back to my room. I don't know what they talked about, or for how long, but it's been 2 weeks now. And he's not been here. But neither has any of the men. Scarlet. August 23, 2010. Today I started junior high. Mom didn't come out of her room to see me off to school. But if she had, I'd have thought she was taking some kind of drug again. Her brief stint with happy pills Father put her on last year only lasted 2 months. She packed my lunches those days and did the laundry. Couple nights, she cooked dinner. But she also gained 20 pounds and refused to take them anymore. Within a week, she was back to drinking too much, sleeping with men who never came near my door anymore. I even had a new lock installed. The men were young now, though, like they could be in college. The best thing was I think I made a new friend. She's quiet and sweet. I've seen her around before, but she doesn't talk much. When that bitch Emily James took her lunch tray and dumped it in the garbage, I walked over and shoved Emily into the garbage cans, too. I told her she threw the wrong trash away. Then I sat beside Dixie. That's my new friend's name, and offered to share my lunch tray. This year just might not be so bad after all. Scarlet.
Chapter 41. Bray. I couldn't sit down. Standing at the window looking out over the hospital parking lot, I pressed Scarlett's number again. The 10th time since 6 this morning and still no answer. Fuck, I growled as I stuffed the phone back in my pocket with more force than necessary. Why wouldn't she answer? I had left a note on my pillow. When she woke up and turned to look for me, she'd see it there. I'd called to make sure she woke up in time for work. Then I tried again, before she should have arrived at work. No answer. Pulling out my phone, I searched for the diner's number. Pressing it on Google, the shit service I had in here stalled, and I waited before it finally went through. I should have just woken her up when I got the call. But when you get a call at 5 in the morning telling you your baby brother has taken a fall from a motherfucking wild Mustang he had no business getting on, and he's got internal bleeding, possible spinal cord injury, fractured skull, had to be revived 3 times in the ambulance, and is going into emergency surgery, you don't think. You react. I grabbed clothes, put them on, quickly scribbled, "Dallas is hurt, bad, call me," left it on my pillow, then ran for my truck. No time to wake her and explain anything. I had to get to Moulton. "Bright Eyes Diner," a woman answered with little enthusiasm. "Can I speak with Scarlet North, please?" I asked, anxious to hear her voice. I needed to explain why she had woken up to just a note. "She ain't in today. Taking a day off," the lady said. Then the call ended. No explanation. Not even a goodbye. I held the phone in front of my face and stared at it. A day off? She called in? Was she sick? Fuck. I dialed the number again. "Bright Eyes Diner," the same woman said. "This is Bray Sutton. I just called asking for Scarlett, and I told you she wasn't here." "I know. Don't hang up. I have a question. Is she sick?" I asked. "No, she ain't sick. Just tired, I reckon." I opened my mouth to ask if she'd called in and who she had spoken to, but the woman hung up on me again. What the hell? Was this a joke? Who did that? I tried calling Scarlett's cell phone again and got no answer. "Still in surgery, but the assisting doctor came out to let us know there is no internal bleeding," Asher said as he came to stand beside me. I wanted to be relieved, but how the fuck could I? They had revived him, brought him back to life 3 times. One was bad enough. The fact he may be in a coma or paralyzed terrified me, but what if it was worse? What if he doesn't make it? I glanced back into the waiting room. "How's Mama?" I asked. In all my years, I had never seen my mama cry like I'd seen today. "He's her baby, Bray," was all Asher said. He didn't have to say more. That was enough. She wasn't handling it. She was falling apart every minute they had him in surgery. "Do you know if Dixie had any luck getting Scarlett on the phone?" I asked him. He shook his head, frowning. "No. She's still not answered you? Did you try her work?" "Twice the damn old woman answering the phone gives me one-word answers and hangs up. She's not at work today. Taking a day off. I'm about to call again and ask when they spoke with her. Maybe she's headed here." "But why won't she answer?" Asher was stoic as he stared straight ahead. "I'm sure she's okay. Probably phone issues. I dialed the diner again.
Bright Eyes Diner, the woman said. Jesus, could no one else...